unaccompanied or separated child that is entering in country, this child became our child. Doesn't matter, we are speaking about emergency, we are speaking about other issues. So I think being creative, being innovative, we can respond every time to the needs. We are happy now that after 1 year we see the results, we see that we've managed to respond quickly.
Inside Impact.
Der Podcast mit Wirkung.
Hello and welcome back to Inside Impact, and welcome to our penultimate episode focusing on the situation of civil society in light of the events in Ukraine. Today we have a closer look on the situation in one of Ukraine's neighboring countries, namely Moldova. I had the honor to ask Daniela Mamaliga of the Moldovan organization Partnerships for Every Child how the war in Ukraine influenced civil society in her home country, how also the field of youth work changed, and what to expect in the future. The interview has been recorded on the 9th of May. I'm now sitting here with Daniela Mamaliga. Daniela, your organization Partnerships for Every Child in Moldova. First of all, thank you so much for taking your time and joining us. Really a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you. First of all, thank you for the invitation.
Thank you so much. Your organization, as I said, Partnerships for Every Child. I mean, of course, in the name, it already states the word child, but maybe to our listeners, what are you focusing on with your organization? What are you doing?
Partnership for Every Child is a child center organization that is advocating for over 27 years for implementation of UN Convention on Child Rights in country. We're working at national level and local level, supporting authorities in reforming the child welfare system, and innovate a lot because we have to change systems, culture, knowledge, beliefs, mentality, everything, as we've been part of a socialist system. So everything is under changing until now, but we've managed to do a lot in terms of constructing a new child welfare system in country. So we've been involved in the deinstitutionalization process, in social services development, everything starting from policy development until working in the field in order to improve social services system in country.
So really also very, very broad your actions and your activities you're doing. Of course, always putting in the middle children, youth, but also maybe families as a whole.
Yeah, in general, our mission is to ensure that every child is growing up in a safe family environment.
That is great, and a very, very important cause. Now, here at Inside Impact, we talked about this before a little bit. We're currently in the middle of a focus revolving around the situation in Ukraine and how civil society actors are influenced by it. Now, with the mere geographic location of Moldova, of course, being south of Ukraine, we wanted to also get your perspective a little bit on how this terrible attack also maybe influenced your organization, your country, but also your activities. What are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, first of all, yeah, everybody knows that the war impacted a lot. It was a devastating impact on the Ukrainian families and children. And we, as a neighbor country, we've tried to do everything in order to provide appropriate support. I think, according to official figures now, we have had entered in country up to 600,000 people, 100,000 remain in country, and 50,000 are children. So a lot of support is needed. When the war started, we weren't prepared. We didn't know nothing, so we didn't have any expertise in emergency. It was doing by learning in a way. So we as organization, we were present from the beginning at the border, especially at Palanka border, where most used border at the enter in country. And with UNICEF support, we've established the Blue Dots. It was a new concept. It was, at 8th, I think, March, we already have tents established there. And we've grown with this type of services in time. We are speaking about child-friendly spaces, mother and corner corners, psychosocial support, so a lot of services established there, not only by Partnership for Every Child, but I would say it was a great mobilization in our country in order to respond very quickly. It was from individuals to civil society organizations, and this is great example of implication and mobilization in order to provide response. Very quickly, mm-hmm. We as a country responded, and there are various of services established across the country in order to support refugees.
Very impressive also, especially what you said now about your organization per se, that she said, well, we weren't really prepared, but we set things up anyway because they were necessary at this point. How did you manage to do this?
I think because of our expertise, because we have quite extensive expertise in social services development, so I think it helped us in order to very quickly adapt our way of work, to develop. So expertise, it was there, just adapting. It was, how to say, we were under pressure, but we didn't feel this because, saying this, when people flushed, I don't know if it is the right term, from the borders, we go to there in order to support. Yeah, it was stressful also, but we're happy now that after 1 year we see the results, we see that we've managed to respond quickly, and we as organization, I think we have over 10,000 of children and 9,000 of caregivers that were supported directly by us. So I think its outcomes are telling about the work we are doing. And there are many organizations that were, as we were involved in this response.
Really, really impressive. Also, now that you said that, apart from the sheer mass of people you were able to help, but also that your past experience really helped you then with setting this up very quickly, as you said in the beginning. Now, as you said, you were maybe also in a crisis situation or at least stressful times, but you didn't really even think about this because you were just acting basically as an organization. The crisis and this war, at least what we got also from past talks, also led to kind of an imperative to scale up your operations because there were these massive maybe new needs arising. But dealing with stuff like this is then a whole different topic. I mean, seeing that there is the need to act in this cause is the one thing, but then really acting is another one. And also, I suppose, very often comes with questions of resources, of funding, of people. How is this possible in your case? How did you tackle these problems?
I would say we had the influx of organizations, of international organizations in country. What we've managed to do, we advocated and we were very, we requested this at every meetings because we had many, many meetings with different organizations coming in country and requesting to be involved, to be provided with money in order to provide support to refugees. Our key message was that we do not like to create parallel systems, child protection systems in countries. So we have everything we have to develop. It should be part of the system, and in time, in long term, system will will undertake this expertise. Yes. So we as organization, what we've developed, including Blue Dots, from the very beginning, we didn't employ people outside from the system. We've involved people from the system, child protection specialists from the districts where we are acting. So social workers, child protection specialists, they are from the system because it is their duty to respond to child protection issues. So I didn't know at that time that this is right model. But after 1 year, it shows that it was the right approach. Because we've, in a way, indirectly, we've strengthened the capacity of the system to respond to this type of issues. So, and we've managed to advocate to not create parallel systems. In our country, the legislation was quite well prepared in order to respond to this type of crisis. I am speaking about child protection. We have a law that was adjusted for special protection for children that was adjusted in 2013 in line with UN guidelines on alternative care. So every child that is at risk, unaccompanied or separated child that is entering in country, this child became our child. So the system should take care on this child. So there were little adjustments. For example, foster care, the government together with us, civil society, decided to avoid institutionalization. We have to adapt our services, foster care, family type home. We as organization, we've been involved in this. So there were little adjustment in order to how to work with this group of children because of trauma, because of this type of, but not regarding methodology, not regarding procedures. So it was an adjustment related to the issue, not creation another type of services. And we've managed to do this, I think.
This is a very, very interesting topic, actually, when it comes to also advocacy and maybe also policy work from your organization and also from the sector as a whole. What really struck me now was that you said of the systemic approach, which is highly important in the field of social work per se, but maybe even more so when speaking about youth. Those international organizations coming in, you'd see them rather critically, right? Did I get this correctly?
Yeah, I think we as a civil society, we have a role to educate, including international organizations that are coming in country and donors including. So we have a role to educate in order to educate in a way, informing them about the system we have in country, about the context, about the needs. So we as organizations, and I representing I am president of a board of Alliance of NGOs active in child protection field, and we at every meeting we had, and we had hundreds of meetings as P4AC and as Alliance, at every meeting we advocated for, so we informed all organizations about the context, about the system, about the case management we have in place, about services we have in place, about the need only to adjust the system to the needs. So it was quite difficult time because there were many, many organizations coming in country, and some of them decided to open their new offices in country, not to work through organizations that already exist. And I think here there is a risk for civil society, Moldovan civil society, because until this emergency, we already had some kind of financial issues, struggling with attracting money in the sector. But having now more organizations in country, I think it will be in time, because emergency, hopefully the war will end very soon. It's my hope, at least. And there are organizations that decided not to work through the organizations, that national organization, let's say, but to establish their new offices. And it was quite difficult time. But anyway, the key messages we have anyway to educate in a way the donor and organizations are coming in country in order to take into account the view, the expertise, and so on of the country when they come.
Basically, then ensuring long-term impact, yes. Being like to its potential, maybe.
Yes. Yeah.
With all the things we now talked about a little bit, what do you think where currently civil society in Moldova stands, and are there any things which might be needed where there can be, can be done more in this regard, or can be supported in any way?
Yeah, so I forgot to mention about the other key message we had. We have to look at the beneficiaries as inclusively. So when we are speaking about in the communities, because in case of Moldova, there were only 4 to 5% accommodated in refugee centers. Rest of people were in communities and are in communities. So when we are working with refugees in communities, we have to work with the whole community. And indirectly, the whole community will benefit from our support, from the investments we are doing. So this message was undertaken by international organizations, including, and now we have, I think, majority of projects we have now in country, they have this integrated approach to work with the whole community. And this is indirectly is in long term, you are avoiding discrimination, you are avoiding negative attitudes toward the refugee people. There are a lot of positive outcomes if you are working with the whole community. For example, we've started to implement a program in schools. It is called Better Learning Program. It is a program funded by Norwegian Refugee Council. And again, we've advocated to work with the whole community school. And it is work very well because the program itself was designed for refugee children, but it was designed based on trauma. And our children, our message was, our children are also traumatized because of media, because of a lot of information. Children have phones, children see TV, and there is a lot of this type of information about war. And they, indirectly, they are also traumatized in a way. So the program showed it works very well. And finally, so we are now very happy that we managed to promote this message in order to and now we are scaling up in other schools. And the government is very happy that it is responding to the communities, to our communities, let's say, not only because we are a very poor country still, with big issues with economy, with migration, with poverty, with violence, and so on. So, as a government, but as a civil society, you have to take into account your population as well. So, it was in a way at the beginning. A period of time that we've tried to promote this, not to forget about the whole child population in our case, let's say, and families.
But really taking, as we said also beforehand, the systemic approach.
Yeah.
And really including every possible beneficiary, be it direct or indirect, and every stakeholder in this regard, which is, I think, a very nice core message of this episode. Now, before we head to the end, which is in our podcast always a book recommendation from our interview guest, maybe the question, is there anything on the topic you would like to communicate to our listeners out there?
Yeah, I think we have to believe in positive change. We have to believe in innovation, because this brings changes in our life. And it doesn't matter. We are speaking about emergency. We are speaking about other issues. So I think being creative, being innovative, we can respond every time to the needs that are coming in our context of life. So I think this is the message.
Wonderful. Advocacy for change, basically, yeah. And for positive change. Well, Daniela, as I said, we have the tradition that we ask all of our interview guests for a book recommendation to finish the episode. Doesn't need to have anything to do with the topic we spoke about. We also had guests who had a very nice novel or anything. Do you have any recommendation?
Maybe I probably would recommend The Diary of a Young Girl, the book of Anne Frankie. I think it is quite relevant for the context we are living in, and it is a lesson in a way that unfortunately people do not learn lessons from the history. And hope, by recommending this book, somebody who will read will change their mind toward how humanity have to be.
Well, Daniela, those are some very strong finishing words. Thank you so much for all the valuable work you're doing, and thank you so much for taking your time talking to me today.
Thank you for the invitation, and good luck with your next.
Thank you.
Invited.
Thank you again, Daniela Mamaliga, for providing your insights. If you want to know more about the organization Partnerships for Every Child, you can of course find a link to the website of the organization in the show notes of this episode. If you would like to get in touch with us, please feel free to write an email to insideimpact@wu.ac.at, or just follow us on Instagram, insideimpact with an underscore. We are looking forward to welcoming you to our next episode, which will also mark the end of the focus on the situation in Ukraine for now. See you soon. Bye-bye.
Inside Impact.
Der Podcast mit Wirkung.